Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast as we begin a new week together. It's the fifth day of April 2021. My name is Joanne. Glad to be here with you. I want to thank you for coming along with me as we journey through the Word of God post-resurrection weekend. Had an amazing weekend of worship and just seeing all the baptisms. My goodness, there were baptisms through the services in the weekend, and I even heard a report of 15 following the last service. So we give Jesus the glory and the praise for people who are living their lives, just in change. And God is breaking down barriers and walls, and he's changing people's lives. And so we just give him glory and honor and praise for the way that he works in each one of us. I even had the sense, long-standing issues. You know, God can just come and demolish those walls and break down the hard places of our heart and soften us and renew us, restore us. And so just resurrection life and power is what he's about. So he deserves our praise. I was thinking today about the post-resurrection appearances, because Jesus started appearing to people immediately after he had raised from the dead. And he appeared to people over a period of 40 days. And then on the 50th day, you know, is the Feast of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came in power upon the believers. So started out in Mark chapter 16, because there are multiple accounts of things that happened after he was raised from the dead. The angels appeared to the women, and they went and told the disciples, the 11 that were left, that they had seen the vision of the angels, and they didn't believe them. And then Jesus, the first one he appeared to, was Mary Magdalene. And, you know, we know that he spoke her name and she recognized him, and she ran and told the disciples, and they didn't believe her either. I mean, what was up with that? What was up with Jesus appearing to a woman first? And this is one of the things I felt like the Lord was speaking today, is that when God wants to do a new thing, he's going to speak to us in a different way than what we're used to. And if you think about the disciples, they were used to having Jesus, the Son of God, who was God, right there with them, talking to them. And so they had a paradigm in their mind that this is how God does it. But now all of a sudden, something new was taking place, and they weren't able to recognize the voice of God. And I like what Bill Johnson says, is that when we share the testimony of what Jesus has done in us, it carries presence, it carries power. And these women that were coming to the disciples, Mary Magdalene, she was speaking truth. And she was speaking a true testimony. Therefore, it carried the presence and the weight of God. And they didn't recognize the presence on her words. Okay, so Jesus appeared first to a woman. Maybe that was hard enough. Just the fact that, God, why would you use a woman in this capacity? And I want to talk about this for just a minute, because Jesus, in all of his teachings, he didn't address the treatment of men toward women and their attitudes, because I don't know if you understand their culture and the religion of Judaism, you know, which was born out of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of the oppressive rules that they had against women, you know, where women could not be taught the law, women could not testify in court, women were not even permitted to divorce men, only men could divorce women. There was just all these oppressive things that lowered the value of women, that lowered their status and elevated men above them. And when Jesus came on the scene, he taught women. He treated women with honor and dignity. He defended them. He upheld them. He empowered them to do ministry. And if you think about, you know, in John chapter 4 with the woman at the well, he was speaking to a Samaritan woman. Rabbis did not do that. They did not acknowledge women in public. And so here he is having a conversation, and it is the first time he says, I'm the Messiah. He says it to a woman. And she then takes that word and evangelizes a whole city. Okay? And then now Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene first, and she is the first one to run with the message, Jesus is risen from the dead. It was a woman. So sometimes I look at the scriptures and I say, okay, we don't see where Jesus addressed this in any of his teachings, but yet we see the way that he behaved. We see his actions. We see his attitudes toward women. And we can learn also from what Jesus did, not just from what he taught. And so if there is any character in a person or attitude toward women that you do not find in Jesus, then that is not following Jesus Christ correctly. Because Jesus is the exact representation of the Father, right? He is God, and he was revealing the Father's heart, not only towards men, but towards women. And it wasn't elevating women above men by any means, no. But he was just giving them their rightful place. Okay, so if Jesus is the exact representation of the Father and we are called to be his disciples, then we need to model his attitudes, his actions, and the way that he treated people. Okay, that's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So just right out of the gate, Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene first. And I really believe he wanted to break off these barriers that were set upon women from the very beginning. And I think this was hard for the disciples to wrap their minds around. So she comes, it says in Mark chapter 16, it says that she came to them, they were mourning and they were weeping. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, it says they did not believe. And then afterwards, it talks about where he appears to two as they went into the country. I believe this is the passage, the road to Emmaus in Luke 24 that we'll look at in a little bit. And they came back and told the disciples and says they did not believe them either. Okay, so the disciples are having a little bit of a problem here. They're not recognizing the way that God is wanting to speak to them through others. All right, so here comes Jesus. He appears to them in that room. And it says in Mark 16, 14, it says, he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. So unbelief and hardness of heart. I thought a lot about this today, you know, about unbelief. And it's when we have a mindset that God will only do things a certain way. And then he tries to do something another way. And it's like, nope, that ain't God, because that's not the way I'm used to God speaking, or that's not what I'm used to God doing. And God will oppose our mindsets and our limitations that we put on him. Amen. Hardness of heart. It comes from maybe offenses, repeated offenses, or bitterness, things that have happened over and over. It can cause a hardened place in our heart. And, you know, if you look at the disciples, they expected Jesus to set up his earthly kingdom. And they had lived under, oppression of the Romans, you know. And I mean, that was a good thing to ask for. They wanted free from the oppression. But Jesus didn't do that. Okay, so there was some hardness of heart, maybe even offense towards God when he didn't fulfill their expectations. And I find this in my own life, you know, in wrestling with God just recently. It's like I'm saying, God, I just want to hear your voice on this. I just want to hear your voice. And he is like silent. It's like crickets. And it's like, God, I really want it to be your voice that guides me through this particular area of my life. And he might send me a messenger. Okay. And what it tells me is that it's on his terms, because he is God and he chooses how he wants to address me and how he wants to speak to me. And it's like, oh, God, I would really appreciate it if you would speak. And it's like, no, I'm gonna do this my way, Joanne. You're gonna listen to me the way that I'm speaking to you. So it's like, yes, Lord, I will stop the wrestling. So repeated offenses. Romans God wanted to build something even greater than what they expected. I mean, yeah, that would have been a great thing. Overthrow the Romans. Israel is now, its own nation in control. But man, that still limits God. I mean, he wanted to do something so much greater. And sometimes when we have our expectations set on God of doing things the way that we think they're going to be done and he doesn't do it, maybe God's just wanting to do something greater than what we expect. Maybe our limitations, maybe we're asking too small. And what Jesus wanted to do was to build his kingdom in them. Okay? All right. Let's see where we can go next. Culture of offense. We live in a world that, oh my gosh, there's so much offense. A celebrity says something and it offends a certain group of people, so then they have to make a public apology. And then that offends someone else. And then the government does this and they shame someone else and that person has to apologize because it creates an offense. And you've got all these opposing sides offended at each other. What is going on? Well, there's no standard of truth to determine who has done right and who has done wrong. And so we go to the Word of God if there is any type of offense. And we let God's standard determine what is right and what is wrong. And then we agree with what God says. We don't let our heart become offended at something that is evil. I mean, or even right. Okay, we just agree with what God says. So, the road to Emmaus was the next one. And that's in Luke 24. And this one is such a neat story because it's the very same day that he had appeared to the women, that they had seen the angels. It says two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus. And as they walked together, they were talking about all these things that happened. And so Jesus drew near to them, but it says their eyes were restrained so that they did not know it was him. How does God do that? So, I mean, Jesus is walking with them and asks them this question. What kind of conversation is this that you're having? And why are you sad? And one of them answered him and said, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? You don't know what has happened in these days, these things that have happened. And Jesus says to them, well, what things? His things, the things about you, Jesus. And so he lets them voice their perspective because they were seeing it through their lenses, through their eyes. And they even said, he's a great prophet. We were hoping that it was he who would redeem Israel. We were hoping that, they had an expectation. We were hoping that it didn't happen. And I think that the church and everyone has been through so much of, we were hoping that the quarantine would only be a couple weeks. We were hoping that, the election results would go a certain way. We were hoping that schools, would be back functioning a certain way. And so we've gone through a very long season of, we were hoping that, and then expectations not being met. And I can honestly tell you, there's a lot of people that have struggled with depression, and even grounded Christians, struggling with the mind battle. And I'm so excited that we are in a season where God is bringing deep healing even into the mind and bringing clarity of mind. And so in this passage, this is exactly what Jesus does. He lets them voice their perspective, and then he expounds to them the scriptures. He says, O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And at the beginning of Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I love this about Jesus because he sees the mind battle, and here he comes. And he says, let me give you the truth perspective. Let me bring clarity into what it is you're seeing, what it is that has happened. And this is what God is saying. And man, if we can just let go of the offense of what we expected and what we were hoping and grab onto the truth that he gives us, we end up in a place of peace. We end up in a place of clarity. And it's like we are suddenly thrown out of that confusion and out of that mind battle. This is what Jesus wants to do for us. I was ministering to someone just last night. And that was, you know, when we got right down to the nitty gritty of what she was going through, she says, if I could just have help with the mind battle. And, you know, just to see Jesus minister clarity of thinking into her mind, for her to know there's nothing wrong with you. You know, but people have really doubted, you know, themselves through some of the trials and the conflicts they've gone through in the past year. But he's healing. He's bringing that ministry and that inner healing right now. So he's building us back up. It's showing us what we can expect of God, what he's leading us to. Lots of peace. Well, let's move on in the story because it gets even better. So they drew near to the village, and he indicated, Jesus indicated, well, I'm going a little bit further, but they constrained him, saying, oh, abide with us, for it's getting late in the day. And so he went in to stay with them. And it came to pass that as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. And in that moment, their eyes were opened, and they realized that they were in an encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, I just want to hang on that moment for a minute. Because if you can imagine sitting at the table and then all of a sudden you realize that the thing that you have been walking through, the thing that you have been going through, all of a sudden you realize I am is right there. And he is breaking the bread. Okay? And then poof, he vanishes from their sight. Let's talk about the breaking of bread. How he is known in the breaking of bread. Jesus is the bread of life. And what he does in our life, what he feeds us with, manna from heaven, give us this day our daily bread. And then when I share my testimony and I break off a piece of the bread of life that I have been given and I hand it to you, Jesus is known in the breaking of bread. And when you share what Jesus Christ has done in you and you break off a piece of that and you share that testimony with me, we are breaking bread together. Okay? Is it possible that when all of these people were coming to the disciples, that God was wanting to speak to them in a new way? Jesus wanted to be known in the breaking of bread. Okay, because as we share our testimony and our words carry presence and weight, we are breaking bread with each other. Is it possible? It is. It is what God was doing. He was trying to break through the disciples' paradigm that God could only speak to them a certain way, but now he was going to speak to them through others, yea, even women, even messengers that they didn't feel like were adequate to speak the word of God. So when a person brings to you what Jesus has done in them, and they're breaking bread with you, and Jesus is known in their testimony, that's his way of speaking to us. I mean, how many times has God sent someone to us to share something with us? And then all of a sudden we realize we are in an encounter with Jesus. Okay, he is known in the breaking of bread. Isn't that beautiful? And we receive clarity. And I just believe that, you know, even in the mental battles that people are facing, just be open. Don't let your heart be hardened. Don't be in unbelief. He's not going to leave you there. You know, he's going to be made known to you. He's going to reveal himself to you. And you may even know him and see him in the bread that someone breaks with you. They may hold the key. Man, it just unlocks whatever it is you need in that mental battle and that brings you right into clarity and peace. He'll bring you right through. I mean, he's not going to leave you there. He's coming to you. You're going to encounter God because he's just doing a healing work. I sense his presence right now. I believe that you do too. Heavenly Father, I love your word, God. I love that you break open the scriptures and Jesus that you have broken off your body and you have given us the bread of life. You do it daily. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are listening. Lord, they're just needing some mental clarity. They're needing to know your voice. Father, I ask that you would send them, God, what they need. Whether it's in the testimony of another person, whether it's a dream or a vision in the night, whether they hear your voice, God, for the very first time. Father, I pray for whatever mental battle that they're going through. Just speak peace to that. Just speak clarity over their mind, God. And Father, that you would lift them up out of the mind battle and out of the conflict, Lord, into a place of peace and stability. And I thank you that you're doing this right now for your people, God. Thank you that you don't leave us in those dark places, but you come to us. We love you, Jesus. We give you praise. It's in your name. Amen. Okay, until next time, God bless you.